You're with SBS Radio.
Choir members' cortisol levels have been measured. They've done a swab of their cheeks at the start.
Yep.
So they've taken a saliva sample and they're measuring the cortisol in people's saliva. They measure it at the start of rehearsal and they measure it at the conclusion, and invariably they have found that the levels of cortisol drop.
And that is the level of anxiety or the level of stress?
Yeah, that's right. They've also done studies to show that singers in choirs tend to synchronize heartbeats.
Right.
I'm not sure how many monitors needed to be used to show this, but an actual physiological reaction to a response to being in close proximity and synchronizing. Obviously, you're synchronizing when you're singing together.
Yeah.
But they found that people's heart rates tended to
synchronize
as well.
And can you understand, or can you tell me what music does essentially do in this whole arena?
The first really obvious one is reducing isolation. For some people, it's Thursday is their favorite day of the week, and I have to say I'm one of them because I get to spend time with all these lovely people whom I would not have met if it weren't for this group.
Yeah, right.
And we've been together now for since 2011,
yeah.
So that's 8 years at the end of this year. So we've gotten to know each other pretty well.
Yeah.
What inevitably happens then is that friendships are formed, and we've had people in the choir go through all kinds of difficult experiences, either individually or in their families. And so the support system that has grown out of this group has been really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
My father became quite ill and then did pass away when the choir was quite new, and it was a very supportive group to come and still lead but be supported by when I went through that.
Yeah.
We had some time ago that we in fact had a member who decided to use the voluntary euthanasia service of Switzerland, and so we had to say goodbye to her. Well, we sang goodbye to her actually.
Wow.
But it was quite a remarkable experience, unique in the very sense of the word. And I actually was calling on my music therapy colleagues for advice about how to support the group and look after myself as well during that experience.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really gentle, calm and warm experience for both that member of the choir who was saying goodbye, but also everyone else who really didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
And that's one of the brilliant things about music. When you don't know what to say, you can sing. And so we sang her favourite songs and recorded some of those, and we all wrote in a book to say how much she meant to us. And that those were things that then her husband, who still remains a member of the choir, can hold on to.
Yeah.
That's quite a dramatic a dramatic story to tell. It's not the only one that we have in our choir, but certainly we have gelled together as a group really quite strongly, walking together through that experience.
Yeah.
That would be the most dramatic tale I could tell you. But then there are just very simple examples of, and I have them often. I'll be tired on a Thursday night and I drive an hour to get to choir rehearsal, and then at the end of it I'm feeling invigorated, I'm feeling happy, I'm feeling sprightly. Not tired at all.
Wow. And can you tell me how that works then, because that is an experience that everyone, and including myself, has.
Yeah, well, it's, some of it is actually just physiological, so you're doing a lot of breathing, of deep breathing, and controlled breathing, and so some of that is really just the effects of breathing in a controlled manner for a sustained period of time.
Yeah.
But then it's also the emotions that we connect to the music, and that's a very personal thing. So we will have songs that some people don't particularly like.
Yeah.
and one person might particularly not care for, and it's somebody else's favourite song.
Yeah.
And so it's a really important experience to know that there's that important point to know that there is a mixed experience in choir rehearsal. So, and I try very hard to balance that, so I know that there are songs that one person doesn't like, but then there'll be another one that is their favourite. So there is emotion attached to it as well.
Yeah.
I think there's also a bit of a mystery around it too. I think there's a lot we still don't know about.
Especially the brain, probably.
Yeah. I mean, we know that with people who are living with dementia, hold music in a different part of the brain from speech. So someone who has advanced dementia and no longer speaks can still sing.
Yeah.
Which is, it's a very dramatic thing to experience, and I did when I was studying music therapy. So there would be group sessions, and there would be clients sitting in a circle in a group music therapy session, and they would say nothing until the music started, and it would be a song that the music therapist knew was an important song to that person, often in their 20s, when they were young, when they were courting.
You're right.
And they would come alive, and they would start singing a phrase, maybe. And so it's incredible to think that it's an amazingly powerful piece of information for anyone who has interactions with someone with dementia, and particularly for families who no longer can communicate verbally with their loved one, but can still connect musically.
Yeah, and do you think it also helps and works preventative?
Well, I think that's an area for further study, but we can definitely say that reducing stress is a preventative measure.
Yeah,
isn't it? So definitely, if we're using music, I think it's really important to say using music mindfully, because you can use music if you want to cry, if you want to be sad, you can actually choose some music that songs, you know, that I have a couple of classical pieces of music that I absolutely adore, and I know I will cry, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But you know, there are everyone has songs that they know will bring a tear to the eye, and there are circumstances when you actually want that.
Yeah.
There are some circumstances when you want to express some anger, and so you might put on some really angry music. Well, music that makes you angry, and what makes you angry, France, might not be what makes me angry.
That's very personal.
Yeah, it's very personal. But if we're using, and those moments of catharsis are really important. It's not just valuable to relax. It's also valuable to release emotion.
Right.
So often people just focus on relaxation, and yes, it's absolutely important, but catharsis is really important too.
Yeah.
So getting those and releasing those emotions is important. And some say that unexpressed joy is actually an experience that people don't realize they're having, as much as they realize, oh, I know that I'm keeping my negative emotions in, I know I'm keeping my sadness in because I need to get through the day or whatever. But expressing joy is really important too.
Right. So I can understand that you would support and advise everyone, wherever, whenever, enjoy singing.
Oh, absolutely. As I say, you can croon in the car, you can keen in the kitchen, sing in the shower.
And it will help. It will help mentally and physically.
Oh, definitely. Mentally, emotionally, physically, physiologically, everything.
Fee, thank you very much, and see you soon.
Thank you, Francis. It's my pleasure. See you on Thursday.
See you then. Cheers.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.